Revelation chapter 7, I'm taking the title for the message from what's said in verse 17. The Lamb shall feed them and lead them. Notice in verse 17, Revelation 7, the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, this is the Lamb who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is the Lamb who is our great shepherd. This is the Lamb who is King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. He shall feed them because he saved them by his grace. He shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more tears. No more heartache, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. The Lamb that we read of in the book of Revelation, and the whole book of Revelation is about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Lamb of God. What is the book of Revelation all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial character. 27 times in this book, he is called and referred to as the Lamb, but this is no ordinary Lamb. This is a Lamb who is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is a Lamb who is also the Shepherd of the sheep, who gave his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ as our Lamb, Lion, King, and Shepherd, he shall save his people from their sin. He is called the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of everlasting covenant, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's my great shepherd. He is God's sacrificial lamb given for us. He's called the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what in John 10? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he's called, in Peter, he's called 1st or 2nd Peter, I can't remember which, but he's called the chief shepherd who is coming again. We've seen that in our study, haven't we? Behold, he cometh. The Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. He's coming back. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. He is our shepherd. He is our Savior. He is the surety of the everlasting covenant. It's going to be okay. He's in charge. He sealed us in that covenant of grace with his blood, and none for whom the Lord died can perish. God has always purposed to save sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. God has always purposed that. In Revelation 13, he's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ stood as a surety. Before Adam fell, Christ stood as a guarantee of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is referred to in the book of Revelation 27 times in his sacrificial character, but also we read this word, the Lamb on the throne. 31 times it talks about the throne of God. That is, and that means to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge. Aren't you glad somebody's in charge? He's in charge of all things. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The very one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, it is who he is that gives power to what he did. It's just not that some Jewish man from Nazareth died. This one who died on Calvary's tree is the anointed Messiah, Son of God. And it's who he is that gives infinite value, merit, and power. God bought us with his own church. One who died for us is none other than God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, the God-man mediator who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In our last study, we saw the description of the church, the elect of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, that stood before the Lamb, that stood before the throne of God, clothed in the righteousness of the Lamb. Look at verse 9 and 10, Revelation 7. After this I beheld, John said, I saw a great multitude, which no man could number. Now the Lord knows the number. The foundation of God standeth sure, having a seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. This great number, which no man could number. You remember over in chapter 5 when it talks about that great multitude there, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands of all nations, of all kindreds, of all people, and all tongues. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. These who were sealed in their forehead by the grace of God, this great multitude of elect, chosen sinners, they stood before the throne, before the Lamb. Now remember over in chapter 6, verse 17, the question is asked, who shall be able to stand? Who can stand before that throne? Only those in Christ. They stand in the Lamb. They stand in Christ Jesus. They're redeemed by the blood of Christ. They stood justified by the grace of God before the throne, justified freely by His grace. They stood, notice what it says there, they stood before the throne, clothed. They don't stand there naked. They stand clothed with the justifying righteousness of Christ imputed to them. So we have redemption from all our sin. We have righteousness given unto us in Christ Jesus. And then they stood, the elect of God, the chosen of God, who were called, chosen, and faithful. They stood victorious. They stood victorious. Not defeated, but victorious because of the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the gospel of God's grace, and he said, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because He wins, we win. Remember chapter 6, verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and the conqueror. He's conquered all of our enemies. And because He's won the victory, we're winners in Him. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne. He is sovereign, the absolute sovereign God of creation, providence, and all of salvation. Salvation to our God. Remember back in chapter 1, turn over there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, He's the King of kings, the Prince of peace, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and have made us priests, kings and priests unto our God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And we say, amen. We say amen. Now back to the text. Salvation to our God that sits upon the throne forever and ever and ever. Now look at verse 11 and verse 12. All the angels of God. Now these are the elect angels. There were fallen angels who are reserved unto judgment of that last day. And they are elect angels. The elect angels stood around about the throne and about the elders. We know there were 24 elders representing all the elect of God, all those sealed in their forehead, and the four living creatures, the four beasts representing God's ministers. And they all stand before the throne, round about the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. That's why we're here today, to worship God, to honor Him. Remember our Lord said, the Father seek seek us up to worship him in spirit and in truth. And here's what they said. Amen. Amen. Blessing, seven things. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be unto our God forever and ever. And then again they said, amen. Amen. Not only do all the redeemed, all the elect of God willingly and serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but so do all the elect of God, all the angels of God. If you look back in chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 8, Revelation 4, verse 8. The four beasts, each of them had six wings. About him they were full of eyes. Within and without they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanksgiving to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. So we give all honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only all the elect angels, but all those redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the elect angels know nothing of the experience of redemption by the blood of Christ, they know that redemption is all of God's grace through the redeeming blood of Christ, and they say, amen to that. Amen to that. But notice also, we have here all those who are redeemed, called, chosen, and faithful. They say amen as well. Verse 12. Let's look at these seven things that are mentioned here in verse 12. First of all, they fall on their face and they worship God, saying amen, salvation to our God, blessings, blessings, blessings. We bless God who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing, bless the Lord. The Lord is blessed in himself and is the source and fountainhead of all spiritual blessing to us, to his people, who were signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing to our God. We bless him who had blessed us. If you want to turn with me, you can. If not, just sit still and I'll read it to you. But over here in Psalm 103, saying, blessing to our God. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. Shouldn't we bless the Lord and honor and magnify him, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and the Lord is gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Can't we say amen, blessing to our God? He is a great God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. And then the second thing they say amen to, blessing to our God, and then they say glory. Glory to our God. Praise the Lord. Glory to our God. Our Savior is the Lord of glory. All glory is due his name. All his works of creation, providence, and salvation, they are glorious, aren't they not? They're glorious. His works of creation, he created all things by the word of his power. His work of providence, working all things exactly as he determined from all eternity. When the Savior came in the flesh, the angels of God, you remember what they said? when he was manifest in the flesh as the God-man mediator. We studied it in Luke chapter 2. Remember what the angel said? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God on the highest. In the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So we glory. We give him all the honor and glory for the salvation that's of the Lord. We can say with the Apostle Paul, God forbid that we should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So blessing, blessing do his name for everything he is, everything he's done for us. And then glory to his name. We glory in none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, he mentioned wisdom. Wisdom. Our God is not only almighty, but he's wise. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the only wise God, our Savior. Wisdom and power. That's what it took to save sinners like us. Wisdom and power. You remember what it says in Corinthians? Let me just read it to you. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews or Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, all things which are not to bring to naught, yea, all things that are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord. So blessing, honor, glory, wisdom. Christ crucified is the very wisdom and power of God. How can God, you think how wise he is, God who is holy, infinite, and eternal, and yet he justifies the ungodly and does so in such a way that he does not violate his own holy character or his own holy law. How can God be both a just God and Savior? Just and the justifier only in Christ and him crucified. That's where we see the wisdom of God in saving sinners. He is called the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. The fourth thing that he mentions in our text, verse 12, is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know anything about sinners redeemed by the grace of God, we know that they are thankful. Thankful. You think what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. Think what he gave us. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What does that make the sinner redeemed by his blood, justified by his grace? Thankful. 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 The apostle put it this way. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All of our salvation is of the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eye. Thanksgiving motivates us to worship and to serve him. We worship him because we love him, because we're thankful for him, everything he has done for us and blessed us with. Back to the text. Look at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 12, rather, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor. Honor. Honor is due. Pay honor to whom it's due. From all of his creatures, they honor him, for he is their creator. And the sons of God especially, for Christ is the author of eternal salvation. For all of his people, he is their Lord. Who is due honor and respect? alone for all things in salvation? Well, you know the answer to that. The Lord Jesus Christ. All honor is due unto him. We confess that our salvation is all his doing. And then the next thing he mentions there is power. Power. All glory, all blessing, all wisdom, all thanksgiving, all honor, and power. How much power does it take for God to save a dead, guilty sinner? It takes all the power of God. So much so that the Apostle Paul puts it this way. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. And then it goes on to, in the next verses, to describe that power. The same power it took to raise the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ that third morning is the same almighty power it takes for God to quicken a dead sinner. Aren't you glad he has all power? He prayed that in John 17. Father, I thank you. You've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. Paul put it this way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And we're kept. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. Turn over here to Revelation chapter 11, verse 17. Saying, chapter 11, verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power, and he hath reigned. That means God is sovereign. That means God is on the throne. That means whatsoever the Lord is pleased to do, that's what he does. In heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. The seventh thing he mentioned back in our text. Might. Might. Might and power. Sovereignty and strength. He is the Almighty God, or the Lord God Almighty. He is mighty to save. All things the Lord Jesus Christ, all these things the Lord Jesus Christ is forever and ever, and will never be diminished. Never be diminished in his blessing, his honor, his glory, his power. And you know what they said to that? They said, verse 12, they said, amen. And then they said again, amen. Can't you say that in your heart? Don't you desire to honor him, to glorify him, to bless him, to worship him? And we say amen and amen. Now, verse 13, one of the elders here, redeemed, called, chosen, washed in the blood of Christ, answered, saying unto me, what are these? Or who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Who are these great multitude, and these 144,000 that are sealed in their foreheads? Who are these? Where did they come from? And these white robes, how did they get them? And I said, verse 14, unto him, sir, you know. And he did know. And he said to me, well, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Great tribulation. Talking about this life. This life is, man is born of woman, few days and full of trouble. And they have washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, in his tabernacle. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Two questions and one plain answer. One of the 24 elders asked John to focus John's attention and ours upon these who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Who are these clothed in white robes, and where did they come from? Verse 14. Who are these people? These are they who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and their robes of salvation are pure and spotless, white, no sin whatsoever. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Just how powerful and how cleansing is the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that God said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. He has redeemed us with his blood, and he has washed away and put away all of our sin by his blood. And these robes, two things I need to stand before God. I need redemption from all my sin. And he has put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I need righteousness. That's what the white robe there indicates. Righteousness and redemption. Where are you going to find such blessed things? Only in Christ and him crucified. He is our redemption. Redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. And we have righteousness in Christ. We have a white robe given unto us, which is his righteousness. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. His blood. Thank God for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of bulls and goats could never put away sin. Our great high priest didn't bring that typical animal sacrifice. He brought his own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. Who are these people? Well, they're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Where did they come from? Look what it says in verses 14. They came out of great tribulation. Great trouble. Great trouble. Believers in this life have a multitude of trials, troubles, and heartaches to endure. You read through the scriptures. God's faithful servants, Abraham, Moses, Job, David, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these faithful servants of God in their life, what did they have? Trouble. How about the Apostle Paul? Beaten, stoned, hated, whipped. How about the Apostle Peter? You know, all the apostles, with the exception of John, all the apostles died at the hands of those who murdered them. They all had trouble, but they came out of these tribulations, brought to eternal glory by the grace of God through the redeeming blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came out of trouble. Our Lord said to his apostles right before he went to Calvary's tree, he said, "These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. Ah, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome." Notice what it said there. These are they which came out of great tribulation. The Lord gives us grace in the day of our trials. In this life we shall have tribulation. But thank God, by his grace, he brings us through the trial. Trials that do come our way are controlled by the Lord, and it shall be well. It shall be well with the righteous. Now look at verse 15. And here we know the outcome, the end. They came out of great tribulation. They are redeemed with the blood of Christ, and they are before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be well. It'll be well with the righteous. Because he said, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." When is our time of need? All the time. All the time, all the time. They're before the throne of God, and they serve him always. And he shall dwell among them. Our God shall be with us forever and ever. This was the promise of the covenant. Remember in Jeremiah 32, he said, "I will be their God. I will, and they shall be my people." They came out of great tribulation. And he sits upon the throne. And you know what? We're seated in him. We're seated in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Right now. And because of that, we have a shepherd who takes care of all our need according to his riches and glory. Verse 16, they shall hunger no more. We constantly feed upon Christ, the bread of life. We'll thirst no more. He is the water of life. The sun shall not light on them. No need for the sun. The sunlight. Christ is the light of that place. No more heat. No more wrath. No more judgment. No more condemnation. Verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What is heaven going to be like? What is paradise? You remember our Lord said to that thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. What is it going to be like? We just read it. If the Lord would just let us enter into it for just a moment. I want to close this message by reading two portions of Scripture. First of all, let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, no more sea. You remember John was out on that island, surrounded by a sea. He said, no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things have passed away. Good news. Revelation 22, turn over there. Good news. Look at verse 3. Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. No more curse. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. You remember they were sealed in their forehead? And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What is paradise going to be like? We just read it. Those redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will enjoy him, serving him forever and ever, and worship him. Just think of it. Worship him with no distractions. Worship him without the frailty of this sinful flesh. Worship him truly in spirit and in truth forever and ever and ever and ever. And I say to that, amen.